Well, here it is. Don't forget, Monday's holiday, Martin Luther King Day. We'll be here, though, with a program for you on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. Full hour of open lines here for you on Coast to Coast AM, and then our weekend begins. But we'll still be here with complete programming around the board for you on Coast to Coast AM. Next up, let's go to Columbia, Missouri. Phil, there you are. Hey, Phil.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, Philip. All is well.
Thanks for taking my call. I guess, you know, I got up and turned on the radio, and the first thing that I heard was something about static coming over your speaker.
I'm telling you, just during this week, Phil. Yeah. I'm hearing it on three or four different computers.
Different computers.
Yep.
Yes.
In different locations, too.
Yeah. Do you have a cell phone near you?
Yes. There's a cell phone close by.
Yeah. Is it static, or is it more like...
It's a hum.
A repeating...
It's like... Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I'm pretty sure that's your cell phone signal. Because, actually, me and my wife were just talking about this tonight. Whenever I have a call coming in, I have my speaker sitting on my table, you know, next to my monitor.
Right.
And a lot of times I have my phone next to it. And when it's right next to the speaker, it's extremely loud. So whenever I have a call coming in, it's a more elaborate humming and kind of beeping, if you will, pattern. But then it doesn't even have to have even if I haven't had a call come in for a while, about once an hour, maybe once an hour, once every 2 hours, it'll come through.
Yeah. Okay. How does it happen though? How does it interfere?
I think what it is, I think it's the signal from the satellite, I don't know if the correct word is tracking, but it's keeping tabs on your phone. And it's like, it could send updates possibly.
That's amazing.
You know, it would. I mean, our phones are, you know, I'm sure you know, they're trackable.
Oh, absolutely.
That's my guess, is that's the signal kind of just catching up.
No, you're right. If a cell phone is close by, it's affecting it. That's a good point. I'm gonna watch that. I'm gonna monitor that now. Okay.
And then, you know, I had that guy that came on. He was talking about, he was from Alaska, and he was talking about the figure of Pan. Standing in his room, and it sounded kind of off the wall, honestly, when he was telling it, but it reminded me of this friend of mine who I just met. He came down from Alaska, and he's been hanging around the area down near the Missouri River, and he tells a lot of stories, and he's Eskimo, and one of the stories he was talking about was about Pan, and he said that he had seen him, and that in the woods. And he talked about a lot of
weird
fairy tale-ish stories from up there. And I wasn't sure of how much of it was true, but whenever he said he was from Alaska, it just reminded me of his stories from Alaska. And that's the only other time I've heard of anyone saying they saw Pan.
You know, I always, when I was a kid and I saw pictures of this creature, Pan, just strange. I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
Guy with a guy, you know, human head, and he had little horns, and you know, he was playing a flute, wasn't he?
Yeah,
that's him.
Yeah, one of the only gods that died, I believe. My wife just read a book on him, actually, which is kind of ironic. And so, I don't know if you have time. I had one other thing. Do you remember a year ago, last Halloween, whenever there was that man, and I can't remember where he's from, but he predicted the UFOs that were going to happen on Halloween.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
I think even maybe he said he could summon them.
In Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that Halloween evening, actually, out near the Missouri River, me and my wife and a friend of mine, we watched two to three unidentified flying objects float around for about an hour and a half. Actually, on that night, and I just thought it was kind of strange, because I had remembered hearing about the predictions, and we just found ourselves out there that evening and started seeing them.
Yeah,
followed him.
His name was Prophet Yahweh, by the way. That was his name.
Black man, right?
Yeah, and he said he could summon those things up, but apparently he did. Well, that's not true. We was seen on video summoning something that looked like a UFO. Some people say it was a balloon, and that he's had a friend someplace else, and he let it go at the same place. That's very possible. But he could not do it again. But he had some media attention, and then he faded away. I don't know what happened to him. Let's go to Mission Hills, California. Allie on the wild card line. It's your turn. Hi, Allie.
Hey, George. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. I called to ask about, to tell you about something that's been going on across America, I think, for like 6 weeks. It involves the Fireburn doctor crew that have been taking care of burns through calling a line. And there was myself was interviewed on Coast to Coast on Ian Punnett's show on the 21st of November.
Okay.
And I wanted to know why all the calls and all the emails that were sent to you and to the production team, why they haven't got through and why there's been no update.
I don't know. I've never even recalled getting one. So I can't tell you why they haven't gotten through if remember.
There was been 70 people who had 100% success with their burns. All they did was call through that telephone number for the Fireburn doctor, and their pain was disappeared in minutes and their burn was gone in hours. And they've been emailing and calling and calling and calling coast to coast, and they've not been taking calls on it. And I wondered whether you knew anything about it.
I know this is the first I've heard of it.
Well, it would be really good to talk with you and tell you some of the details and give you an update.
What emails are they using, do you know?
I know that they've sent you directly emails, and they've sent the production team. They've used Art Bell's emails. But they've been calling the show a lot to say their amazing results.
All right, Tommy wants to physically talk to you, so I'm going to put you on hold, okay?
Okay.
That way you can't get away.
Right.
Thanks. All right, next up, let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Hello.
Hello, is this me?
I don't know. It depends on who you are.
No, I don't either. He said, this is Tim from Reno. Hi, George.
Hey, Timothy, how are you?
At ease.
Oh, you want to guess this?
Great line. It's from Stalag 17.
You got it. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the $5, Tim.
Really?
You deserve
it. Thank you very much, sir.
Absolutely. What a classic movie, huh?
Oh, just terrific.
One of the best. God,
the only bad review I ever heard from somebody was a kid who had to show 800 playings of it when he was being the projectionist in high school.
And the At Ease is so distinctive. If you've seen that movie, you will remember that line.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get your address, Tim, and congratulations. I'll get you out $5 from 5 Coast to Coast guests. And it's an old black and white movie. Those of you who haven't seen it, go rent it. It's one of the classics, Stalag 17. Two guys come in to into the Stalag, and they go simply, you know, at ease. And then the other one goes, at ease. But you've got to see the movie. Tim, you won that. Next up, we go to Steve in San Diego, west of the Rockies. Hey, Steven, go ahead.
Yeah, I joined you at midnight and was listening to your static on your computer and telephone lines, etc.
Yeah, you think that's what it is, cell phones?
Well, I've been noticing, at least I hope I've been imagining a pattern here lately. I drive a car 300 miles every night,
okay.
365 days a year.
That's a lot.
And I've never seen so much roadkill and so many raccoons and skunks walking the streets. Secondly.
Interesting.
Didn't your earthquake guy say that's one of the warning signs?
Sure is. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, in Northern California, in the San Francisco Bay, the sea lions took off. And they went up to Oregon. And nobody at the time knew where they were headed, but that's where they ended up. And sure enough.
Didn't he say a couple other warning signs were that?
Strange animal behavior.
The dark of the moon?
Yes.
Which is tonight?
Yep.
Excessive rain, which we're calling for all through the week, 8 inches coming into Southern California.
Huge. So you're predicting a big one.
I hope to God I'm wrong, but the static coming up out of your telephone lines and TVs and stuff could be plasma energy from a fault line.
That's what I'm saying. This is, and it's only been about a week or so. It is weird.
And also, I've spoken to several people, like 5-6 people in the last month, that keep they have no relation to each other, never met each other, but they keep relaying these stories that they're having dreams about a tsunami hitting the southern coast of California.
Interesting. And Seattle, too, in that area.
So I'm hoping that, you know, I'm imagining a pattern here.
Well, Stephen,
maybe you should start tomorrow's show with your expert.
Well, we'll go on record. I'll let Ian know about that, too.
Something. Have a good one.
And we'll pick it up on Monday. It is weird. First time caller, Ty in Sacramento. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, Ty.
Greetings, George.
Hey.
What a dignity and delighted is to speak with you.
Good.
Listen, I really enjoy the way you do your show, and I just want to call in and just say hello and just kind of chat with you briefly and just share with you what I believe to be your two best shows. And then I wanted to ask you if you would please consider interviewing two important guests to the best of my knowledge you've never interviewed before.
All right. Who are the guests first?
The guests are, first of all, talk show host Michael Savage, because he talks about important things that nobody else ever talks about except for you and the show. And he falls right in the category of what Coast to Coast listeners listen to. They're an extremely intelligent audience, as you know. And we do know that there's a lot of shenanigans going on in our government. And he talks about those issues. And I really believe that if you could get him to come on the show, it would be some of the most enjoyable and informative 2 or 3 hours that you've ever done.
We might be exhausted by the time I'm on, but I'll kick that around with my producers. Who's the other one?
The second one is a gentleman where, here's a scenario. This is close to 20 years ago. I'm commuting. I'm driving the car late at night. Mm-hmm. And you know how it is when you're in between major cities and, you know, stations fade in and out. So you're scanning the dial and I'm looking for something to listen to. And the radio just happened to stop on a station that was coming in clear. And it was somebody that was already speaking. And clearly they were giving a lecture type of a public address in some auditorium. And then I found out towards the end of the broadcast, it was some radio program that was so fascinated by what this gentleman had to say that they managed to get a recording and rebroadcast it on the radio. And the actual speaker had nothing to do with the radio station that it was broadcast on. In any event, I got to find out about him, did some research on the internet, was so impressed with what he said. I purchased a video of him giving a public address. And then he happened to be in the Stockton Civic Auditorium in 1997. I live in Sacramento, and I traveled down there, me and a friend, to go see him speak live. And the best way I can describe it is when you, and you'll appreciate this, George, when you hear somebody talk and they have the utmost integrity, you know right away that they're telling the truth.
Yes, okay? You can tell.
Exactly. And this is exactly right in the center of what this program is all about, the topics that he talks about. His name is Gary Kaw. I believe it's G-A-R-Y. Last name is spelled K as in kilo, A as in apple, H as in hotel. And he is a former trade specialist with the state of Indiana. And this is how he introduces himself. And when he had that job working directly and reporting directly to the governor of Indiana, his job was to travel around the world and try to motivate businesses to move to the state of Indiana so that they could provide jobs for the residents there in Indiana.
Mm-hmm. What did you like about him?
What I liked about him was in the course of what he did, he began to share what he learned dealing with his counterpart trade specialist with countries around the world. And to his amazement, he learned from his counterparts about how once you leave the United States, they talk about the emerging one world government. And his counterparts were absolutely stunned that he was unaware of these issues.
Jeez.
That is openly discussed about. Well, this man decided to learn about this, and he was so intrigued, he felt compelled to share his knowledge with Americans, and he began to put together his first book, at which point the governor found out about it, called him into the office one day, gave an ultimatum and said, either you put the quash on this book, or you're going to be terminated. So he went home and discussed it with his wife and decided to turn in his resignation the next day and
wow.
Published the book.
Right.
Now, I've never had the opportunity to read any of his books, but I understand they're phenomenal. But he backs up everything he claims.
Spell his last name again.
Gary, G-A-R-Y, last name is K as in kilo, A as in apple, H as in hotel. And when I heard him speak in 1997, the live address, he made a comment to the audience that because there has been so many death threats against him and his family's life that he wasn't sure if he was going to continue speaking. So when you reach out to him, and I hope that you
I will. I will check that one out for sure.
Yeah, because I believe he'd be a perfect guest for your show.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you, Ty. Next up, we've got time for one or two more before the break. Then we'll come back with more. We'll go to John in North Dakota, east of the Rockies. Hey, it's got to be cold there, John. How are you?
It's warming up.
Is it really? Good.
But real quick, before I go to my point, the cell phone thing, that happens to me. Because I have...
just recently, or...
Oh, it's been happening ever since I had...
All right.
Service, Nextel. And if I have it near a speaker, the sound is it's kind of funky, but when I'd hear the sound, within 5 seconds, a call would come through.
It's got that type skippy sound to it.
Yeah, so I know it's...
I hope it's not an earthquake.
No, but to my point, ever since 9/11, the government's been pushing everybody, because I'm a volunteer fireman, digital communications. And they've been pushing everybody to go to this, radio people, the P25, they call it. And, digital is just not ready. And around here, they've tried it, and it's sort of failed. And I've seen articles all across the country, even in California, that they say it worked, then it just dropped. And digital is just, analog worked great.
Analog was clean.
Yeah, and I have a few firemen that are in the New York City Fire Department, and they told me a story. They were at a fire, and a few firemen were talking on a digital channel, and apparently the companies outside couldn't hear them, but a company a couple miles away could.
That's weird.
And
like a pocket.
Yeah, it's digital is very, I've talked on digital, and it's funky. I mean, and then you get these police departments that throw the encryption in. And, scanners, I could see in the next 20 years going away. They got digital scanners now, but they're so expensive.
I used to love those little scanners when I was a kid. Man, I'd listen to police calls all night.
Yeah, and, Uniden's got a great scanner, but it's like $500 for digital.
I had the one that had the little red lights on it. I can't remember the brand name.
Realistic, I think it was.
Was that it?
Yeah, because a friend of mine out in New York's got one. It's the old Crystal, and it works great.
Is Realistic Radio Shack?
I'm not sure, but I've seen it once. I've seen them on eBay a lot, but...
Yeah, those things worked really well. Hey, thanks for that. We'll come back, and when we do, we'll have callers in Indiana, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Minnesota, Washington, and also Wichita, Kansas on Coast to Coast AM. In store for next week, by the way, let me give you a few of the guests. Dr. Robert Pione, he joins us as we talk about genetics and how to sustain life through the eyes of a scientist. Eldon Taylor joins us, by the way, not Elton John, and we'll be talking about reverse speech. Charlotte Harris joins us, talking about a bizarre secret map of the ancient world. And then we're going to be talking with Melinda Leslie about alien experiences. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, we'll find out why there's a run on Streamlink and why so many people are signing up for it for just pennies a day. Just go to coasttocoastam.com. And if you have an iPhone, there's a new iPhone app for Streamlink members as well. Okay, back with the final calls. Let's go to White Bear Lake, first of all, in Minnesota for the scary hotline moment, your most frightened moment. Hello, Grant. Go ahead.
Excuse me. Yeah. How you doing, George?
Good, Grant. Not bad.
Awesome. So about a year ago, I was at home sleeping, and all of a sudden I heard almost like a loud clap or thunder that woke me up. And then I was woke up really frightened, couldn't move. And the door to my room, which is like a hollow, thin door, started shaking violently, like someone was trying to get in. And
you had it closed, I guess, right?
Yeah, it was closed and latched, but it was thin enough to where if you were pushing on the top of it, it would come in a little bit.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And so it's just going back and forth. And so I finally, like, I don't know, maybe 5 minutes it lasted, and then it was just silent.
Were you screaming, who is it?
I was trying to, but I couldn't scream. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't move. I remember, like, trying to move and trying to say something, but nothing was happening.
That would be a frightening moment. My gosh. And then it just went away.
And then it just went away. I immediately got up and grabbed the crucifix off of my wall and walked around and,
When you opened up the door, Grant, did mm-hmm. you do it
yeah.
quietly, really? I mean, really just peek in?
I did. I opened it real slow. I had the crucifix in my hand, kind of held out in front of me.
Oh, my.
And I walked around the house and, said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave my house and never return.
And go away, and it did. Next up, Tony, Newport, North Carolina. You're up with us. Hey, Tony, thanks for holding.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good, Tony.
Listen, I hear you on the radio, and I feel like I'm that we're friends. That is so cool the way that happens.
Absolutely.
But I'm 60 years old, and I'm an ex-Marine. And when I was in Vietnam, I had been there 4 days. Well, actually, it started when I first went into Da Nang. That guy from Monkey Mountain a while ago, I wasn't too far from there either.
Okay, and you're there for just 4 days?
Well, no, I came into country. And I got off the plane, and they lined us up in a great big line, and they were coming around and writing numbers on our chest. And when they wrote this number on my chest, I said, what does this mean? And the guy says, you're going to Red Beach. And when he said Red Beach, everybody went, oh, man.
You're going, where's this?
Yeah, really. And I'm 18 years old. I turned 18 about 3 days before I went into country. And I go to Red Beach, and I'm in a little hooch. You know what a hooch is. I'm in a little hooch.
Yeah.
In this place, one night, 4 days later, I was a badass in high school. I was always a pretty big guy, and I always took care of the small kids. I couldn't stand bullies, so everybody would hang on.
I hated the bullies too, Tony. Jesus.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and I was laying there in my on my rack, or what you want to call it, actually wasn't much of one, and I had my hands interlaced behind my head, and kind of looking up at the sky, but I could hear the war in the background, the machine gun fire, and every now and then a mortar would go off, way back in the mountains, I could hear it.
18 so years old, too, huh?
Yeah, I wasn't too far from the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and here you go, man. The Bible says, be careful what you pray for. I said, hey, man, this is war, bring it on. And I know, 10:35 at night, I'll never forget it as long as I live. No sooner than I said that, all of a sudden, this extremely loud swishing like a jet came rushing into the hooch area and just, boom, went off, And when I heard that, I knew that was death. That was pure
God.
Death.
Now, what I was jumped, it?
It was a, well, I found out later, it was a 122 millimeter rocket.
Ugh.
But I got out of my, I jumped out of my rack, and I ran out of the door, and I ran across the boardwalk and got in behind the buffer and into a bunker, and I ran to the other opposite end of the bunker, and I started scooping out the sand in the corner of the bunker. And, I was down about maybe knee deep already, and I was just doing it fast, trying to get down deep. I wanted to get out of sight, man. I was so scared, so frightened.
You were all sitting ducks, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah, and I was doing that, and his voice said, "That's not going to help." And I stopped, and I sat, and I turned around, and I sat down in the hole that I had dug, and I said, man, I said, ain't you scared? And this guy was sitting by the mouth of the bunker behind the buffer. He said, yeah. He said, everybody's scared, man. He says, but you get used to it. And he said, if you live long enough. And he said, come here. And I crawled over to him because you can't stand up in the bunker. The bunker.
Oh, no, you're gone if you do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I crawled over to him, and I'm sitting there, and I'm shaking profusely and crying. Tears are streaming out of my eyes. I couldn't understand, you know, I had been in some bad scrapes in my life, but this was flying death, and I could feel it all over me. And the guy says, man, he says, the one that you hear, he says, that one's already going by you. He said, the one that's going to get you is the one you're not going to hear because it flies faster than the speed of sound.
And you're just gone. And boom.
And all of a sudden, there's this stillness. Nothing happens, you know. And you never and you never know. Is it now? You know, now.
And you had to live with that every day there.
Every night, and we got hit 3 to 5 times a week with rocks.
Oh my God.
And the reason everybody went, oh man, when they said, you know, Red Beach, it was nicknamed Rocket Alley.
When you got back, Tony, when you came back to the States, was it hard to adjust?
Oh, I haven't yet. I live in the woods. I've got 5 acres of land. I live in the woods. I patrol my. I actually do patrol my perimeter. I've got a shop out back, and I've been in the shop working, and it'd get dark on me, and when I turn the lights out and go to walk outside, I can't open the door. I know that if I open the door, the gooks are right there, and they're going to get me. So I have to go in back into my shop. Call my wife, and she has to literally come out and take my hand and walk me to my house.
Wow.
Now look, I'm 60 years old. In 2003, I got real sick one Sunday, and I went to what they call beach care. I live on the beach out here in North Carolina, and I went to a place called beach care. It's one of these little emergency places you go
to.
Okay,
yeah.
I walked in. I did a blood test, and then the doctor came running out of the lab. He said, He said, sir, he said, what is wrong with you? He said, I can't fix. He said, you need to go home, get your wife, and go to the emergency room right now.
What was wrong with you, Tony?
Well, I'm going to tell you real quick. I went home, got my wife, went to the emergency room, and I was in the emergency room, and I could feel the life leaving out of me. I was really, really bad sick, getting worse all the time. I finally got a room in the emergency room, and you're not going to believe this, but God spoke to me in that room. And said, you're going to have to go through something real bad. He said, but if you trust in me, keep your faith, I will get you through this. And a little short-haired nurse, doctor came in. She's a real wild-haired looking lady. She was a Greek, and she spoke broken English, but she was extremely intelligent, one of the most intelligent people in the United States as far as this is concerned. She said, Mr. Murray, she said, have you ever been exposed to Agent Orange?
Oh, my gosh, Tony.
I said, yeah, matter of fact, I have. She says, that's what's wrong with you. You have an overexposure to Agent Orange, and you have multiple myeloma bone cancer, which is incurable. She says, sir, you're a very sick man. You and your wife need to go home and make your final preparations.
Oh,
you're in the final stages of multiple myeloma. And right now, your bone marrow count is 8,000. She said, that's way. She says, 400 is normal.
And you were toast. 8, you were gone.
Yeah, I was gone. That was 2003. They gave me 3 days to live in the emergency room. I looked at that doctor. I said, good. She said, what do you mean good? What's good about it? I said, can you treat this? She said, yeah, we can. I said, well, baby, I'm not a quitter. I'm a fighter. Let's go for it. So they gave me the most powerful doses of chemotherapy that they could give a human being. I was on it for 4 days, 24 hours a day straight. I was in bed. It killed the muscles in my legs.
It killed everything in you, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was an extremely strong man at one time, and I laid in bed for 6.5 years and could not walk an inch.
Tony, you were in bed for 6.5 years?
Yes, sir, 6.5 years. This happened in 2003 now. I was in bed. Could not walk at all for 6.5 years. And in June of this past year, my doctor called my wife and I into the doc, into his office, and he sat there and he looked. He says, Tony, he says, I've done a 3-year blood study on you. And he says, I've conferred with other doctors, other oncologists. He says, I'm going to tell you, I can't see it. I said, you can't see what, doc? He says, I don't see the cancer.
Oh, my God.
I do not see cancer.
Gone.
He said, but I'm going to send you down and have a boomer, a biopsy done.
Just to be on the safe side, right?
Right. Yes, so I went down and they did a double bone marrow biopsy on me. And the very next day, the doctor called me. He says, Tony, I said, yes, sir. He says, it's negative. I've been cured of an incurable disease. There is no cure for multiple myeloma.
And let me tell you, though, Tony, your attitude, I've only got a couple minutes left, so I got to run, but your attitude saved you in addition to your belief in the man upstairs and everything else. Jenna, we've got a couple minutes for you, west of the Rockies. Hi, Jenna.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, real quick. Boy, some passion is going on tonight.
Absolutely.
All these stories. Real quick, kind of back to your guest that you had on, somebody had mentioned about dreams. And I had a really amazing dream. I had my mother die about 3 years ago. And I believe when somebody comes to you in your dream after they've passed away, that basically lets you know that they've
okay.
gone on.
Yep.
Yeah. And so just real quick, the dream was real short. My mom's death was untimely, and we don't know why she died. She just passed away. All of a sudden, she had health problems, but we don't know really what actually took her. So anyway, the dream was she was basically dressed in the clothes that we picked out for her and how I saw her in her casket. And we were just sitting there and she took my hand and she looked at me and she goes, I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm all right. And I remember waking up the next day feeling, you know, so much better and overjoyed and overwhelmed. And since then, the dreams I've had of her are more happier dreams. I still see her, but I see her, you know, when she was younger and I was younger.
And she's still trying to communicate with you, Jenna?
Yeah, and she's communicating with my dad more, too. It took a couple years for her to show up in his dreams, but he had a dream the other night, and she was wanting shrimp cocktail. So, you know, we know it was her because she loves shrimp cocktail.
I tell you, when you can get a good shrimp cocktail from a good restaurant, you go back there time and time again.
Yeah. So, no, she is. And, you know, you see things and you hear a song and sometimes it's more powerful communication than others, but I think the dreams are the most powerful forms of communication.
Absolutely. And Jenna, we are rapidly out of time. Do me one favor. Say goodnight to the world for me, right? Go ahead.
Good night, everyone. Have pleasant dreams and wonderful thoughts.
Well, sweet enough, indeed. And in just a moment, our old buddy UFO Phil is going to take you home right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid. But as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night,
UFO Phil, you are one of a kind. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, George Knapp, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.